Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four at big four. Blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
We have stupid, dumb, idiot drivers out there. Have you heard of them? They're called SIDs in my book. S-I-D-D. Stupid, idiot, dumb drivers.
Okay. It's Alberto Gutierrez, spokesperson for the Governor's Office of Highway Safety, and I think he's right. Road rage is a huge problem in the Valley. We're going to prove it to you right now and give you some numbers. Do you know since January, three kids have been shot and killed in road rage?
I did not put that together until you read that to me. That I know we've had tragedy. I know that kids have been shot. I didn't put it together that three since January, almost one child a month this year has been killed just because of a road rage incident.
Since January, three children, 10, 16, and 18, have all been shot and killed in acts of road rage. So it begs the question, here in the Valley, do we have a problem? Well, let's look at the numbers. 2018, last year, we had 256 incidents. 256 all of last year. 4 months into this year, we have 155 already.
That's not a good statistic.
We're going to blow away 256. Yeah. And then, I mean, there is a problem. Okay.
There's no doubt there's a problem.
Why are the numbers going up?
That is a great question. I wish. Look, as someone who doesn't participate in this stuff, and going way back to when I first started driving, I don't understand it. It's not worth it. A guy cuts you off, and I'm not talking about if you get into an accident or anything like that, but if a guy flips you off, a person cuts you off, somebody's slow, somebody goes too fast, is it really worth reacting to where you or your family could be hurt? And I've always thought, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I've never understood. Somebody does something you don't like, something that you don't like, and you respond to. Okay, a beep of a horn, that's fine. But you follow the person, you take a gun and then shoot the family in the front of their yard.
Yeah, that's what it was. A 10-year-old.
Right. I cannot comprehend that. So in a long way, to answer your question, I don't know why this problem has escalated because I just don't get the anger. I really don't.
Well, I'll look at the three murderers. And they all have something in common.
Okay.
They're young. They're young men.
Okay.
They're young men.
Maybe?
They are young men who viciously went and tried to murder people and were successful at doing so. So, you know, if I'm looking for, in the three cases, the death of a 10-year-old, the death of a 16-year-old, and the death of an 18-year-old, they were all killed by young men. Okay. Is it just the way society is now? You know, everything bothers us. Every little thing makes us crazy. We see something on social media, we got to lash out. And now it's coming into the real world. Oh, that person disrespected me. Right. I can't believe that person in front of me did that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to chase them.
That could be.
I'll follow them down.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I think people in the Valley are starting to get worried. I can feel this. I don't know if you can. I've talked to a lot of different people. There are a ton, and we just gave you the numbers, of incidents already 4 months into the year. And I think what we're also doing is we're seeing it more on the road. And I think that's making people worry. A lot of you right now, you're listening to Mac and Gatos. This is the Big Four at Four. Big Story One is all about, you know, road rage. You're driving. What if you get cut off?
Like today?
Yeah, yeah. Or what if you accidentally cut someone off? Because that can happen too.
Absolutely.
It's not like you're on your cell phone or you...
Half the time somebody beeps at me, I don't know what I've done.
It does. When I get beeped at, or I feel like I want to follow them, but I never would do that. It angers me. And
Be beeped at, you mean? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with society, if this is a societal thing. We have no patience. We feel like...
We're entitled.
We're entitled. We're right. Disrespected.
This is my road. Well, not really.
All right. What do we have to do? in Arizona? Because it is a problem. Do we, you know, do we have a law? That's the first thing. Is there a law about road rage? Here's Gutierrez.
We do not have a statute governing road rage.
Do you think we should have one?
Well, how do you describe a road rage? Is it speed aggressive driving? Is it what is it?
That's a great question. How do you define road rage? Because if somebody has an accident, you can prove, okay, there's the damage of my car.
Yeah.
This car ran into my car. You can trace the evidence and see that something has happened. How do you prove that somebody cut me off, beeped, and they were so angry I was in fear for my life? I don't know how you prove that. I don't know how you put a law together and say this is the definition of road rage. You know when it's happening, or you know when you think it's happening, but how do you prove it?
I mean, I know we don't have a law, but we have reckless driving.
True.
Does that
but
fall under something like this?
What about endangered driving? If you endanger somebody else, wouldn't that be a road rage incident? I don't know.
You know what they're doing in other states? I'll give you an example. In Nevada, there are certain, I guess, traffic units that are deployed, and they look for road rage.
So these are cops that are out looking for road rage incidents, I guess.
They look for drivers who are tailgating, swerving between lanes, and cutting people off.
Okay, aggressive driving.
Tennessee and Nevada.
Okay.
Do we need this in Arizona?
Well, okay, the short answer is yes. But does DPS have the money to put extra officers on the... I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I don't know if we have the money to put people out there looking for aggressive drivers.
I don't think we have enough officers.
That's the problem, too.
Is it because in other states... You know, you've traveled around, I've traveled around. It's 65, and that's a lot. In a lot of places, it's 55.
Right.
We're 65.
Most Western states have a higher MPH rather than 55.
Is that the reason? Do you change it down? Are people just...
I don't know, man.
Like 80? I mean, I'm just saying, are people... I go about 75, 80, okay? I'm just going to tell you. And I have people that speed by me all the time.
I know. I go 95, and it's like I'm pasted to the wall.
You do not go 95.
And that's just down on Central Avenue.
Oh,
I mean,
why don't you
I'm
be
just
serious?
Pasted to the wall. Light rail outruns me. It's horrible. But no, seriously, if I can run
faster than you drive.
If you lower the speed limit, wouldn't that only make people more angry?
Probably.
Because they're used to going 75, 80.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing in Tennessee and Nevada. Special traffic units deployed to look for road rage. New Mexico. There was the death of a child from road rage. It led to a big statewide crackdown. The little girl was named Lily, so they called this Operation Lily. And officers would go throughout the state, and they would pull you over if you were driving aggressively, but they wouldn't give you a ticket. They'd give you a pamphlet about road rage.
Okay.
I would throw that out the window, probably.
Well, because you'd be so angry.
I would litter. I would litter.
Well, that's another problem.
Are you going to get a guy that is driving so aggressively that he's going to say, you know what? Thank you, officer. I really want to read this pamphlet.
I would say
that helps.
I would say that because at least he didn't give me a ticket.
Well,
I'd say thank you. I thank you for the pamphlet.
Yeah.
I appreciate that rather than a ticket.
Or do we have to all here in the valley become tattletales? And if we see something.
What does that mean?
I just saw it. I'm calling the police.
Well, you should be doing that. If you see somebody who's dangerously driving, you should call 911 and report it. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm talking about I got cut off. That person just cut me off. If it escalates to now I'm being followed.
Yeah.
So big story one, we've got a big problem in the valley with road rage, and it's serious. Since January, 3 children have been shot and killed because of road rage. Shot and killed. All right, coming up next in big story two. Well, I hope you're ready for a big surprise at the gas pump, because it is here. That's in a moment.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story 2.
I looked at the sign at the gas station the other day, and I thought, what the heck happened? Hitting the road this weekend, it's going to cost you more. Gas prices are on the rise.
I agree with my friend John Hook,
Boo.
Fox 10. I don't know what's going on with gas prices. Oh, yes, I do. They're going up, and they're now above $3 a gallon.
Right.
That stinks.
It does.
Okay. We haven't figured out with the refineries and the delays and all this kind of stuff. I will tell you this, though. Yes, gas prices are over $3 a gallon. What I am not seeing anymore, and this is just me, gas pumps that don't work, gas pumps that have run out, gas stations that have run out.
So the gas is there.
I think it's there.
But
it doesn't look to me like there's how do you say it?
There's a shortage.
A shortage.
There's not a shortage, but what you do have is that you've got a bunch of people who are saying, okay, if the shortage is over, why is there no gas? Or I'm sorry, why is the gas prices gone up? I don't know.
I'm kind of worried we're going to get to $4 a gallon. I mean,
Really?
Yeah, we haven't hit summer yet. Summer's brutal. I mean, I don't know how to get these gas prices down, but, I mean, you're paying a lot now.
You're paying a lot more. You're paying 40 to 50 to 60 cents more.
Remember last week?
In about a couple months.
Last week I asked former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, mm-hmm. should Governor Ducey suspend the gas tax? She laughed at me.
Yeah, she did. She did.
So that is a big no. Okay. You're listening to the Big Four at 4. Four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 3.
Authorities in Colorado say they're looking for a woman, 18-year-old Sol Pais, who's suspected of making threats that prompted the lockout of Columbine High School and 20 other Denver area schools.
They want the public to be on the lookout. She is described as a white female, 18 years old, about 5 feet tall, with brown hair. They believe she was last seen wearing a black T-shirt and camouflage pants.
ABC's Clayton Sandell in Colorado. The threats come just days before the 20th anniversary of the Columbine mass shooting.
This is something you don't find very often. A woman who makes a threat and is so fascinated by mass shootings. She's 18. Yep. 18 years old, a woman, and Columbine, the 20th anniversary, is this Saturday.
Well, there's no question about it that she wants to do what happened 20 years ago.
Or is planning some kind of attack somewhere the area.
I'll never forget when that happened 20 years ago, because I was right here at KTAR. And when we first heard about Columbine, we looked at each other and said, school shooting?
Yeah.
Now if we hear it, we say, another school shooting?
Right.
So I don't know who this woman is, but she is as sick as they come.
Yeah. She's allegedly infatuated with the Columbine shooting, attempted to purchase firearms, put a threat out. She's considered dangerous, armed and dangerous.
My goodness.
So all the schools in the Denver area were placed on lockdown. Mm. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I mean,
and look for more this week, too, because of sickos and the 20th anniversary of Columbine.
Well, and there are certain days and months that shooters or would-be shooters like to capitalize on. They like anniversaries. They like the copycat part of it for one reason or
another. That was Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, and I got to tell you, I mean, would you send your kid to Columbine? I mean, it's one of those, like, if you lived in Denver, would you want your kid going to Columbine? It would just freak me out. I know that it happened a long time ago, but my goodness, no one is ever going to forget that one single word, Columbine. Everybody in the world knows exactly what that is.
I agree.
Oof. You're listening to the Big Four at 4.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 4.
It was just heartbreaking to watch. The ladders were not tall enough. The hoses were not strong enough.
That's an ABC reporter in Paris, France. And we know what happened there. Notre Dame. I don't know if it burned to the ground.
Luckily, it didn't. It's not a total loss.
Right.
The spire did collapse, but the two towers and the original, let's say the original foundation, quote unquote, was saved. So they can rebuild. It's not like the Twin Towers, where the whole thing's collapsed, okay?
Right.
It's not like that. But they are going to rebuild, but they say it's going to take a long time to rebuild.
The rose windows appear to be saved.
Yeah, stuff was salvaged out of this.
Statues of saints were spared.
Mm-hmm.
And how about this? A few days before Easter Sunday, the cross still stands. How about that?
Yeah. So again, is it a shame? Absolutely. But it could have been worse, unfortunately, or what they're saying is it was an accident due to construction. There's no conspiracies here. There's no religious meaning here.
No terrorist attacks.
Exactly.
The cathedral's golden altar cross was seen standing.
Yes. Yes.
Out of everything.
Yeah.
Right before Easter. That's an incredible scene, and a picture of that is floating around,
right.
And it is really unbelievable.
The wooden lattice that fueled the blaze, that the roof is totally gone, but a lot of the some of the art was saved by a human chain.
Yeah.
That people just started handing stuff to other people, and they got it out of there before it melted or was consumed.
There's a lot of money going towards they almost have $1 billion, I think, raised.
Yeah.
To people that have so much money, you know.
Apple said they're going to continue.
Hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
That's it for the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up, we've got some bad weather rolling into the valley. Becky Lynn's got that. Hey, and when we come back, Arizona border towns, they're on the front lines of the immigration crisis. How? We'll talk about it next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Mac and Gatos, a KTAR News special. Continuing coverage of Arizona's immigration crisis.
All right, this is something that we're doing all week here at KTAR. We are running a special series, Arizona's Immigration Crisis. Today's part two. Yesterday, we kind of talked about rescues at the border that KTAR reporter Peter Seymour saw with his own eyes. Today, we're talking a little bit about the border towns and how they are affected by Central Americans coming in to the United States. And earlier today, Peter joined us and Mac asked him this question.
Is it illegal immigrants or asylum seekers that these communities are saying they're affecting us the most?
It's the Central American crisis because, you know, San Luis, the port, and Yuma and at large, I mean, they welcome, of course, the people who want to come here and work every day. They don't blame them for living south of the border because it's cheaper. And these people who are crossing every day to work, to shop, to do anything else, they're the ones having to wait in the long lines, too. Long lines of cars, long pedestrian line. They're impacted by the Central Americans who are trying to come in through the borders, either legally or illegally. So they're suffering too.
So obviously, when the Mexicans come in legally and work, we want them here. Central Americans coming in and claiming asylum, it's affecting these border towns. What is a day like for, let's say, a farm worker who crosses legally from Mexico into the U.S.? From what I understand from your reporting, it is much more difficult for that person who just wants to come over legally and work these days because of the Central American crisis. Can you take us through that?
So imagine waiting 8 hours a night, not a day, but a night, at the lines at the San Luis Port of Entry.
Then 8 hours?
8 hours. They're competing with buses of migrants coming in. I mean, these are organized buses. I mean, some of the migrants are not being smuggled. They're coming up, you know, in nice buses, and they're being dropped off right at the port, and then they're told to cross. So they're still...
All right, let's explain that real quick for our audience.
Yeah.
There are some smugglers who are actually taking out radio ads in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, saying, we will get you through all this.
Yeah.
We will take you on a bus for, like, let's say $7,000.
Right up to the port of entry?
Correct.
Right.
Oh,
they will
goodness.
Drive them all the way up so you don't have to walk. Give us $7,000, and people are doing it and dropping them right at ports of entry like San Luis.
And,
right.
And when that happens, then you have the people from Mexico who want to come in legally and work here.
Right.
You say they're waiting 8 hours.
They're waiting 8 hours a night, competing with all that. And by the way, it's a 2,700-mile journey. So they're all in competition right now to squeeze to the port. It's only 6 lanes. It should easily be 12, according to the port director, John Schwamm. 1 lane of pedestrian entry. And then these farm workers, for example, especially during the winter harvest, which provides so much of our lettuce and broccoli and other winter produce, they got to go work 8 hours a day in the fields. Then they cross back into Mexico to see their families, have a bite to eat, maybe get a nap, and then they're back in the lines at midnight.
Do they sleep in line?
I think some of them do. They probably
they, I would
they,
think.
They probably shift. You know, they sleep in shifts, so to speak. And if they get across early enough, maybe like in 6 hours, they find a place on the farm. Mm. As one farmer, Rick Sellers, told me, they fall asleep for another little bit of shut eye, then they got to get it right up and get to work starting at 6-7 a.m.
Peter Seymour is joining us, KTAR News reporter. All this week, KTAR News running a special series, Arizona's Immigration immigration crisis. Today we're talking about the San Luis border, talking how the border literally and figuratively impacts Yuma, Arizona.
It's 8 hours that they are waiting to come in and work. And it's because of the Central Americans coming over. What was the line like before? Was it an hour? Did they walk over in 5 minutes instead of having to sleep in line for 8 hours?
I would imagine it was something like that. As a matter of fact, Customs and Border Protection has a website where you can click on the ports of entry that you want and you can find the wait times. So I just perused it yesterday, for example, and they were saying 3 hour delays in the car lanes. And of course, that was about the same for the pedestrian travel. And yes, it could be a lot shorter than that. And it was a lot shorter than that before the migrants started coming en masse in about September. This, again, according to the director of the port, John Schwamm. He's been with the Customs and Border Protection for the last 33 years.
This affects the farmers that their productivity goes down. This delays agriculture coming here, so on and so forth.
Does it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, even though they're working 8 hours, they're getting the job done, but it's all delayed?
Because then you've got the trucking that has to be, you know, when you, if you take your produce back into Mexico, then you got to wait those long lines to cross and get back out. Speaking of trucker, I talked to Russ Jones, and in addition to his day job as owning a trucking company along the border, he's also Yuma's representative in the State House of Representatives. And he says, you know, his migrants can't get across fast enough either to come to work or to do their work. That costs him. And then, even on a personal note, on a societal note, he's got family, uncles, aunts, and cousins living in Mexicali. It's a 75-minute drive west, excluding the time spent at the border patrol, the border and ports of entry.
Mm. So what are the people who are in charge, let's say the Yuma mayor, San Luis mayor, what are they saying? Are they trying to do anything to address this, or do they just throw their hands up and say, it's the Fed's problem, it's not our problem?
No, they're trying their best to help. I mean, they know that these are still people at the end of the day. They know that if they don't help, if the migrants don't get to some major transportation hub, they're going to stay on their streets. They're going to take their resources from the local charities and use those up real fast. Food banks, for example. The Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols, I believe, was considering a state of emergency in his city to get help with these migrants. The San Luis Mayor Jerry Sanchez said that 70% of his city's revenue comes from sales taxes from people who are crossing the border to spend their money and to make purchases. And he says this last Christmas was the worst Christmas ever because sales were just so down because no one wants to wait 8 hours just to go shopping.
Mm. Peter Seymour, great KTAR News reporter. We're doing an exclusive series this week, Arizona's Immigration Crisis. Peter, again, thank you so much.
One more thing I wanted to add. The San Luis mayor said, you know, these people are claiming asylum. Not everyone's an asylum claim. If you're having economic hardships in your country, that's not an excuse. You're not an asylee.
That's true. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, guys.
Peter Seymour. All right. Coming up next, we've got some weather rolling into the valley. We're going to check that with Becky Lynn. And when we come back, a six-year-old had a Build-A-Bear party.
Oh, how fun.
It went horribly wrong.
Oh.
And we'll tell you about it next.
Drive home informed and entertained with Mac and Gatos, 2 to 6 p.m. on KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos, Arizona's afternoon news, 92.3 FM, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You looking outside?
It's cloudy.
You know,
and it's gray.
You know,
it's dark.
You know what it could mean?
It will be an ABC 15 weather action day.
Wait.
It doesn't.
Really?
Does that not qualify?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
An action day?
Well, I don't know if it's big enough.
Well,
there is some weather surrounding the valley.
No, wait a minute. Wait.
We'll let
There's
you know.
Weather moving in from the west. I don't think it's surrounded us. It's not like it's going to attack from all sides.
Facts don't matter, Mac. You wait a minute. Mm. Facts matter on this show.
Facts don't matter since 2008 on this show.
Have you ever taken your 2-year-old daughter to a Build-A-Bear party? It's a simple question. It's yes or no.
The boy is 2.
Ah.
The girl
is
9.
Yes.
9.
Okay, did they ever go to a Build-A-Bear party?
No, but I know people who have.
Okay. You go to where this, you know, the Build-A-Bear is.
It's in the Scottsdale Fashion Square.
Oh, it's fun. I took my niece when she was like 4 or 5 there.
Right.
It was fantastic. You build a bear and you get to keep it and you dress it the way you want it. You make it look the way you want.
Yeah, you actually design the bear and take it home.
Yep. There was a Build-A-Bear party that went horribly wrong.
Okay. What did, like, the stuffing machine not work, or did somebody get loose with, oh, I don't know, the glitter? What happened?
No, that's not what happened. So I want you to just think about this. Nine kids, and they're all six.
Okay.
You got a little girl, it's her birthday, right?
Yay.
Mom has thrown this wonderful birthday party at Build-A-Bear for her little girl who is 6 years old. So you've got, you know, you've got everybody there. They're all building a bear the way that they want to build it.
Right.
Okay. So after like an hour, they're done. And the mom, who's thrown this birthday party for her little girl, says, okay, children, hand over all the bears to my little girl because it's her birthday.
So the mom insisted that everybody that built a bear had to surrender the bear to the little six-year-old girl for her birthday.
Yes.
Mom's awful.
Oh, geez.
Mom's awful.
Okay. So,
wow.
Let me read to you what one mom wrote.
Oh, of course they had to go to social media, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the mom of the birthday girl announced that all the kids needed to give all their bears to her daughter.
Right.
Cue the upset and angry kids.
Well, of course.
They were all disappointedly handing over their animals.
Uh-huh.
And one little boy didn't want to do it. So one of the kids ripped it out of his hands.
Another child or the mom?
Yes. Eight kids.
The child or the mom?
Yes.
Both of them ripped it out of the little kid's hands?
No, the child. Listen to the story.
Well, I asked who ripped it out of the...
No, I'm just kidding. So you got eight kids invited to the party, each man an animal, but when they left, the host mom demanded each of the children give the bear they made to her own daughter.
She said she should have said something, but I didn't. The other parent seems pretty baffled. I would have not have surrendered my bear.
Really?
Why should I?
What kind of human being are you?
A better moral person than this fraud of a mom.
Listen, don't you think mom is trying to teach the children how to share? That's what I think.
Oh, yeah. This is the exact Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Take it from all the people and give it to one so nobody can have it. That's great.
It's funny you brought that up because one little six-year-old actually made a bear that looked like Bernie Sanders, bald and everything. It was
really?
Awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, Bernie said he was going to give him a free college tuition.
Right.
I don't think that the birthday girl's mom went over the line here. I mean, you got to make kids tougher. These little snowflakes.
All right,
you
got to stop. You're sounding ridiculous now. There's no way you can justify this horrible human being as a mom.
You know,
there's no way.
You know, Mac, not everybody gets a trophy, so not everybody gets a bear.
You're invited to build the bear.
For the kid. That's
be specifically stated.
The mom of the birthday girl paid for pizza pie and cake. So the kids...
They had to work for their food?
Yes, that's where
this
I was going.
This is ridiculous.
But apparently, you stole my thunder.
No, I popped that balloon because it was ridiculous.
There's no popping. I applaud this mother. A very teachable moment.
Coming up, the 5 o'clock KTAR news expansion. We've got weather moving into the valley coming up.